The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Meller. Enjoy your day off from this show. You're doing the afternoon remote. J.R. Strauss, he'll be back with us on Monday. And thank you to Jeff Dickerson. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Summer harness racing heading down the home stretch at Hawthorne with betting action every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night under the lights at 7, plus the PointsBet Sportsbook and the awesome beer garden. So thank you to PointsBet and Hawthorne.
Yeah, baby.
All right. We're trying to interrupt. Okay. We're just trying to do what we got to do. Okay. What are you doing there?
Okay.
What are you doing there?
Right in the middle.
I'm just trying to, trying to give you a big introduction. Stepping right. What are we doing here? Okay.
Carm and Yurko, bop, 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 bop.
Morning,
what's
boys.
Up, fellas?
It's Friday, right, boys. Football Friday.
No, it's actually a Jonathan Hood Friday. My guy on the call, the White Sox.
Yeah,
tonight.
You and Connor tonight. That's going to be sweet. Thank you very much. Happy birthday, Yurk.
Yeah, thank you. We talked to Connor McKnight yesterday about that.
Yeah.
It's going to be top notch, my friend.
I love that, man. Well,
very happy to have Hoodie in the booth.
It's a little scratchy. You okay?
Well, you had poker last night, so.
Late night.
No poker last night. Yeah, I was up to about 1 o'clock. I rewatched the game this morning, and you guys were asking what magical question about the Chicago Bears. Give us the way the Bears are going to win the game, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what if I told you the Bears are going to be a +3 in a turnover margin, control the clock for 35 minutes, and outrush their opponent? You would think you'd give yourself about a 95% chance of winning that game, wouldn't you?
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's what Dallas did last night, and where were they?
They lost.
They fell
short. End of the stick.
Their idiot kicker cost them the game.
Short end of the stick, and I agree with you. Idiot kickers is the only way they should ever be described. Idiot punters, idiot kickers. The only guys that have any skill whatsoever there are the long snappers. I've got a certain amount of respect for long snappers.
I love long snappers, Pat Manley.
10 more minutes of possession, more first downs. They outgained them. They were a plus. I mean, when you're a +3 in the NFL, you win like 92% of the time.
Plus three, Carm, and time of possession.
And time of possession. Like, it's
so, those are the two
like
staples.
Said, it's 95%.
You 95% of the time.
So, Carm, I'm driving home from the appearance that I did in Gilbert's, Illinois.
Oh, I thought it was Gilbert's, Arizona. Yeah. My bad.
It may as well
have
been.
Felt like it.
Well, that was my hope. Go ahead.
Hey, quick rewind,
lost in the desert.
Shut the door, Merkin.
The underboss of ESPN 1000 lied to me. But
check,
I had a great
check the
time.
Schedule. Okay, buddy. Bye.
Pub 72 had a great time. I get home.
Yeah.
I sit down on the couch and I am watching this game, and all of a sudden now they're losing late. And I said, okay, Stanley, Tom Brady's going to get this done. I live bet him at plus money to win.
Wow.
Bam.
Well, were they plus? Was Tampa? I guess they would have had to have been after
that point.
They lost
you're down,
lead.
Yeah.
It was plus 110, and by the time the little wheel kept going, plus 105, I
wow,
got it.
Wow, yeah. Just think about that. It was still
well,
plus
I mean, and here's the thing. They settled for a field goal, I believe Dallas did, in the second quarter.
They did.
The tight end is pointing to Ezekiel Elliott as the man that's open, and he is open. The tight end, you can see him in the end zone. Go to Zeke, and by the time Dak Prescott makes the decision to go to Zeke, Zeke is right next to the out-of-bounds marker.
Right.
He can't corral the ball,
Keep
his feet in bounds, maybe turn, beat a guy, and get into the end zone. Then the option play, the tight end who's on the outside, all he's got to do is make a stock block, and instead he misses the stock block. And it looks like the play is the worst play in the history of man, but it's not, because the guy that's supposed to make a block for you out there didn't do his job. So it's hard to criticize McCarthy. That offense looks dynamic. My feelings of taking them, the Dallas Cowboys, to win the NFC East, boy, I got more confidence in that today than I've ever done.
I probably have a little bit more, too, than I picked the Cowboys after. I like Dak. I've always been a fan of Dak. I thought he looked great. I mean, he looks healthy. He looked great. That was a fun game. It was a good way to ring in the season.
But I got into it a little bit because I've come more – not. I'm not totally on your guys' side. But I've come more your way of I'm not taking a running back in the top 10.
No
Zeke
way.
Is a great player. But if I get a left tackle, a quarterback, a Rudge Escher,
a rusher,
a
corner,
a great shutdown corner, those four. Now, Josh Jacobs at 25, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 32. I get those. They're dynamic players.
Well, it's not because they're dynamic players. It's because you get the fifth year. That's in the first round.
And they're good players.
Yeah, but I get it.
But that's why you're going up to take them.
Yeah, that's it. The only way you should be taking a running back in the first round is if you're in those last handful of picks at the back end of the first round, because then you get the fifth year. And I know this sounds cold-hearted, but it is what it is. You run the ever-living crap out of them. You get everything you can. And after 5 years, a running back in this league is toast. That's it.
Very rare do you find a Derrick Henry.
All you need to see is Todd Gurley.
How high did Derrick Henry go in the draft?
Derrick Henry was a second-round pick, wasn't he?
I don't think he was a first-round pick. I don't think so.
Pretty sure.
My point is that we saw how often that Dak threw the football yesterday. And again, for all the hand-wringing and the contract stuff with Ezekiel Elliott, and he only was at 11 carries, 33
yards,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, non-existent in the first half. I'm just like, okay, so is he going to be part of this offense as far, again, not necessarily between the tackles I'm talking about, just utilizing him as an offensive threat. Because the running back position is not necessarily all about Derrick Henry. You want to utilize him. Say you got a tight end that's not that good, but you got a running back with good hands.
Yeah.
Well, if he can give you a good run after the catch, he's viable.
As good as Zeke is, and he's a talented player. I mean, there's no question about it. And
how much money is he against the catch? I mean, it's a ton.
It's ridiculous. And look, you got how much? Do you really have a huge drop off when Pollard's in the game? Has Dallas had a huge drop off the last 2 years when Pollard's running the football? They really haven't. It's just the idea of paying running backs is insane at this point. It just is. Drafting them highly is insane. And you won't see it again. That's it. I mean, the league has figured it out. Again, if you want to draft them 26th, 30th, I get it, because you know you're going to use and abuse them for 5 years. You get the fifth-year option, and then it's c'est la vie. And then you start all over again. That's the running back position. That's it. Unless you're talking about Barry Sanders,
right?
You know, maybe Adrian Peterson, who was a freak for a lot of his career. There just aren't many guys where you'd be willing to make a high pick investment in the kind of monetary investment.
45th overall in the 2016.
There you go. They're findable.
And as much as we all like Derrick Henry, I mean, at some point here, you throw over 300 carries, over 300 touches the last couple of years, almost 400, I think, 2 years ago, wasn't it? Or last year, maybe.
Well, the difference is Barry Sanders averaged 100 yards a game, too. Just under 100 yards, and he averaged 5 yards a carry.
He's had 1,397 carries, I believe. No, that
Derrick
was
Henry?
That was in high school. That's how many times he carried.
How many carries the last 2 years for Derrick? I'm going to guess about 700.
Let's see.
Maybe 650.
Was he banged up a couple games, Carm?
681.
681.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Clock's ticking on Derrick Henry, too.
Right. The guy that you want to compare that to, and he was a Houston Oiler and a Tennessee Titan, is Eddie George.
Eddie George.
And they beat the living hell out of Eddie George.
Yep.
He has gone up over the last 3 years in terms of average per carry. He went 4.9 in 2018. 5-1 in 2019, 5-4 in 2020.
It's pretty great. Hopefully he has one more good year, because I got him in the fantasy league, so we'll see.
What a I got him too, Carl. Oh, I had Amari Cooper in one of my leagues yesterday.
Beautiful,
I started, boy.
Beautiful.
That's cabbage. Woj bomb.
On Chicago's home for sports.
Woj bomb.
ESPN 1000.
We turn now.
What'd you say, Cap?
Eddie Goldman, right?
Oh, boy.
Jonathan, go ahead. Wow.
I
don't get the introduction.
Well, I was trying. Okay. We turn now to veteran newsman. It's Friday today, right? It's Friday?
Yeah,
Friday.
Oh, great. Yeah.
We turn now to veteran newsman Randy Merkin with breaking news here on Crosstalk. Randy.
Jonathan, thank you. Josh, this is from the verified Twitter account of Josh. Is it Friedman? Is that how you say his name? He's a very good broadcaster from WGN.
Josh Friedman.
Friedman. Where's the I and where's the E?
Friedman?
That's what you
got to
tell
us. I think it's Travis Friedman.
Chris Sale, scheduled to pitch against the White Sox Sunday, guaranteed rate, has tested positive for COVID. per Chris Cotillo, the Red Sox outbreak worsened. So Chris Sale, who has not pitched at Guaranteed Rate since he left, will not be pitching.
That's not true. He has.
He has?
He pitched a couple years ago. We were at the game.
ESPN said he had it.
Chris Sale, Yurko and I were at the game. Oh, yeah. We took listeners.
What's going on,
Ben? He's got COVID, so he will not be pitching on Saturday.
There has been, from my perspective here, as I'll be doing the game, and looking through my little notebook here, I see that the Red Sox have had a lot of issues with injuries, for sure, and also COVID.
Who was the player? Was it Hunter Renfro, right? Didn't he go on WEEI or something, and he said that he made a claim, I think this was yesterday, he made a claim on EEI, right, Danny, that the league told the Red Sox to stop testing amid this outbreak. Now, the league immediately was like, dude, untrue. Categorically untrue and false. Mm-hmm. But they were
testing them for syphilis. You got to test for COVID. Guys, you got to remember that.
They were all Tuskegee Airmen, apparently.
You can't check for gonorrhea and stuff like that. Those tests go in the garbage. So it's COVID tests.
Who knows what's going on?
Well, how about this? I was told by a very reliable source that there are players. The union is fearful that this labor negotiation, the league is going to demand a vaccine mandate for all players, that there are players who are saying, I won't opt out of my deal because I've signed on the old deal because I'm not going to get it.
They're going to be like,
and all the free agents are like, you mean I won't get a contract? That's what the league is saying. They're going to fight for it.
That's just one small piece of what is headed for some big-time labor.
Yeah,
we're headed for a big-time labor dispute.
What else did Faye Vincent tell you?
That's an addendum to what the real problems
are. Paul Giamatti.
I
think it was Bud.
Paul Giamatti told you that. Yeah. I'd like for you to tickle me in certain places. I didn't know Paul Giamatti. Wow.
Speaking
was
of that.
Bart or Paul? Which one?
Bart's dead.
Well, listen.
Who's Paul?
Paul Giamatti.
Maybe the ghost. The ghost
hey,
of
you
Bart
have
Giamatti
homework this weekend. Who do you have homework?
Leather and Lace.
Billions to get the first episode
Billions.
In.
That
and
is
number two, I think.
Saturday, I got to get to that. Yep.
Malice at the Palace. We're going to review
good.
It. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's good.
That's Saturday night.
It is.
That is so good.
It's
and
really
what was
good.
The third? Oh, baseball after 9/11, what the World Series did for New York.
HBO Max.
Yes.
Yeah. Go check that out.
Yeah, Ross Greenberg produced it. It's supposed to be amazing.
What is that on?
HBO Max.
HBO Max? What's it called? Baseball After 9/11?
Yeah.
All right, I got to try to check that one out, too.
Also, Paul Giamatti will be in Leather and Lace.
Paul Giamatti.
I didn't see the first one, but I saw the previews. The weight loss on Giamatti.
Yeah?
Really?
Paul lost some weight?
Holy bleep.
I got to watch
it. It's a different guy.
It's another show I got to get into.
It's a different guy.
There's too many out there. Great actor. I love
clean shaven.
Love that guy.
Wow.
Take that.
Is he still getting put on that rack?
Never mind.
He's great as pig virus.
He loves to be touched.
Tremendous.
Pig vomit.
Well, the real guy that called
the ratings
pig virus
come out tomorrow, you slayed him. You're number one.
You're going to be number one.
You're going to be a friend in there.
If you're not in the business, if you are in the business, you've got to watch it.
You got to do it like Amos does.
All right, kick us out, Yerk.
Time to go, boys.
MVP.
See you, fellas.
All right.
Hoodie, have a great weekend and good luck tonight. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Have fun, Hoodie.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Yerk.
Happy birthday, Johnny.
Happy birthday, Sylvie.
All right. Happy birthday, Sylvie. Have a great day. See ya.
Hey, not sure if you've heard, but football's back. Yeah, maybe you've heard. It's happy hour at Twin Peaks. No one does happy hour like Twin Peaks. Whatever your preference, they have everything from tequila cocktails and expensive bourbon list. They got some really good bourbons there. They make a mean old-fashioned, too. Yurko and I love those. Those are our guys, man. Twin Peaks. Plus craft beers, handcrafted cocktails, just an amazing drink menu to go along with a fantastic scratch food menu. Don't forget about those 29-degree man-sized ice-cold drafts. Go to Twin Peaks today. Watch your favorite team. This opening weekend of the football season. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks,
scenic views.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
There he is again, going deep down the right sideline. And Brown is there to hold it in. Antonio Brown. And that's success on this drive. And that pass is caught by Godwin for the touchdown. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who went a rapid three and out on their opening drive. This time go 94 yards. Minute 45 to go in the opening quarter. Here comes the blitz. Big throw. Prescott hangs in. Throws caught. That is Lamb. And Lamb is, as the field judge looks at it, a touchdown. He's trying to put that on fire. Brady, the fake and rolling and throwing. And that'll be caught. And that's Rob Gronkowski. The 101st touchdown of his career. Low snap. Now Prescott throws. That's going to be caught in the end zone by Amari Cooper. Touchdown. At the age of 44, Brady steps up, avoids the rush, throws, caught. Touchdown, Antonio Brown. You know, you talk about pocket presence and feeling, obviously he's got everything. You can feel it coming in from the side, steps up, finds the open spot. Bingo. Here they come after Brady. Throws, caught. Gronkowski to the end zone. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Prescott to the end zone, and it's going to be caught. Amari Cooper with a touchdown. Touchdown number two tonight. Catch number 10. Brady, Godwin. Spinning. The ball is loose, and he loses it in the end zone. And Jordan Lewis is going to come back with it to the 12-yard line. So he was trying to get into the end zone, and it cost him. And that kick,
how about that,
is good right in the middle. Brady looking that way and fires that way, and it's going to be caught, and it's Godwin making the catch. Got it.
They finally have a kicker in Tampa Bay.
That's how you ring in a season right there. Welcome back. I know that's kind of an antiquated reference now if I were to start singing Welcome Back, Cotter, and the NFL is anything but antiquated, but welcome back. I mean, it was beautiful last night. What, 900 yeah. yards of offense almost?
Yeah, that's what you needed.
Seven passing touchdowns. I mean, it's what this league yeah. is. It was on display. It's Tom Brady. It's Dak Prescott. It's Amari Cooper. It's Antonio Brown looking like a Steeler again. It was fabulous, Yerk.
I enjoyed the living hell out. I mean, you know, Dallas... Ooh, I'm telling you, you know, of the two teams that they went out there and somebody tried to predict this year, and I forget exactly who it was. I think it could have been Skip Bayless. You know, once Skip starts making predictions, they're worthless.
Go the other way, for sure.
Yeah, he goes Tampa Bay.
Same with Greeny. I think Greeny was pounding the Bucks all week, and I knew right then and there the Cowboys were the best.
Well, exactly, but you knew they were going to be competitive, and I tell you about first game efforts. You know, first game efforts are phenomenal because everybody thinks they've got a chance to win. That's why when that number started to stretch out there and it got up to nine and a half. Just, are you ridiculous? They couldn't find any action.
I know.
On the other side, they couldn't find action there. So
it was too good to be true. I mean, but 2 hours before kickoff, Yerk's right, it's 9.5. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean,
when they couldn't capitalize on those turnovers early, that was a problem. And I can't believe with only Tom Brady and Jensen, the offensive lineman, they couldn't find a way at the half to bring that thing all the way back. 72 ended up making the tackle for the offensive line for the Tampa Bay Bucks at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
They threw the ball into the end zone.
Well, that was the Hail Mary, and then and Dallas came out. Yeah. I know.
How the hell did you not bring that all back?
I'm with you, Yerk. I thought he was going to score. I'm like, there's nobody to stop him.
Cut across the field. Open it up. You've got offensive linemen that are trying to tackle you.
And Tom Brady. That ain't happening. I'm totally with you on that, Yerk. I thought,
wasn't there like five guys in the end zone already? So he only had like beat like three or four.
Yerk goes 100%.
Those guys were giving pursuit behind him, too. And those guys weren't just going to lay down like dogs.
I thought the same thing. Like, why not cut it across the field a little? I mean, you would have had a couple of offensive linemen and Tom Brady turned inside out.
72-66 and Brady.
That's it. I thought he was going to take it to the house. I totally agree with that. And so there's that. There's a missed kick. There's a missed extra point. I mean, how in the world in the NFL you can lose a game in which you're a plus three?
Ridiculous.
First of all, it's hard enough to lose a game when you're a plus three, let alone then you have 10 more minutes of possession. You outgain the other team. It's 9.5 out of 10, and sure enough, Dallas ends up losing the game because Tom Brady had too much time left. at a minute and a half or a minute 20, whatever it was, and okay, let's go right down the field now.
And why did Gronkowski ever think about retiring?
I don't know.
Why do you let it enter his world series? All I want to do is get drunk and be stupid.
Maybe his body was just feeling different back then, Yerk. Maybe the time off did him some good. I don't know. I mean,
I've heard that. I've heard that when he did retire, it was the combination of the Patriot way
yeah.
and kind of taking the fun out of it, and the combination of his back was at that
I
point.
I think like his back way, and his
Tom
elbow
Brady, yeah.
were
Tom Brady
so
is
shocked.
Doing it in Tampa. He's doing it the Patriot way.
Of course he is.
He's not doing it the Brady way.
He doesn't know any other way.
He knows only one way. It's the Patriot way.
But I'll say last year there was a point in the middle of the year when he went
7-5.
Maybe. I don't remember. I'll have to go look. I'll get you the. I can find the exact what week it was. But I remember the anecdote, him going to Bruce Arians and basically saying, look, Bruce, I'm really sorry, man. It was like a Wednesday. Yeah. And he goes, listen, man, I need a day. My body's just it's beat up. I need a day off. And Bruce Arians like, Tom, if you don't practice for the rest of the year yeah. and you just go out on Sundays, I'm fine with
it's
it.
All good.
And he took the day and he went to Bruce Arians and he was like, in New England, that wasn't the motto, the yeah. mantra. And so I think, you know,
no days off.
He's older. He's smarter. His body can't take the beating that it once did. But that doesn't mean that it comes, you know, come game day, he can't be great if he's managed properly. So I think that's where there's a difference.
He took the day, guys.
Go ahead, Yerk.
Right. Brady took the day.
Yeah.
He and Kraft have a spa day. Is that what happened?
All right.
Maybe.
Could have been a spa day. You know, maybe you want to get in with the old
owner.
I
think he's allowed to fraternize with another owner at this point.
That's Wild right, Orchid. Know. Maybe they met up at the Wild Orchid and had themselves a little something.
That's Robert Kraft's place, after all. Yeah. I don't think there's any
Coach Arians, I need a spa day. Me and Crafty are going out to get a little lotion.
Put the lotion in the basket. I need a spa day.
No, I love the game, guys.
It was awesome.
This game was absolutely fantastic.
Dak
now, you watched
great.
The game.
It was great.
You guys all watched the game last night, right?
Yes.
Which team had more pressure on the quarterback than the other?
I still feel like
Bucks. No,
I mean,
yeah,
I feel
Tampa
like
by
had
far.
More,
yeah, Tampa was, by yeah. far had more pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah,
and Dak Prescott was the guy that was under duress. I thought he looked absolutely fantastic.
I thought he played
while
great.
He was under duress.
Yeah,
but it goes to a point that Greg Blasch once told us when he was here with the Chicago Bears: sacks are overrated. He goes, I would rather have the pressure. There's one sack in yesterday's game.
Yeah, I know
won
what you
by
mean.
By Shaq Barrett.
If you, you know, and if you're constantly pressuring the quarterback, sacks are going to probably come anyway.
They will
but,
come.
But yeah,
right.
you're right.
They will come.
Like,
the but pressures. The constant pressure and yeah. the constant going after him
yeah.
created the holding calls at the end of the game.
Right.
The penalties that Dallas had.
Well, think about the holding penalty. You're right on the third down play, Yerk. Yeah.
Sidelined. It derailed him. It did everything. It was that constant pressure. That ultimately ends up winning that game.
You're right, 100%. You're because the third down, the holding on the third down, basically, like if they were in fourth and short, they might go for it just so they don't give the Bucs the ball back. You know what I mean? Even though they were down, like it's not crazy to think at fourth and one or fourth and two that they would have tried to pick up the first down so that they can continue to milk the clock and then kick the field goal. So I think that's a great point. Like the holding penalty backed them up. Dak got a little bit of it back, but then it was fourth and six. And I don't think you're going for it on fourth and six. Like, you need to take the lead in the points there, but you left Tom Brady with a minute and a half. So you're absolutely right, Yerk.
Minute and a half, no timeouts, and it didn't make a difference.
But if it's a lot different minute and a half than if there would have been, if they could have picked up a first down and milked the clock all the way down and not given them the ball back or given him the ball back with 20 seconds instead of a minute and 20 seconds.
Football karma, aren't you
beautiful.
So happy?
It's beautiful. It's back. We're going to keep talking about it all day today. We will sprinkle in some baseball. Chris Bryant's back in town. White Sox are back home. They limp home after scoring just two runs in the final two games in Oakland. So there's a lot happening. The Red Sox have this COVID outbreak that continues, and now they're here on the south side. Chris Sale, the latest, he will not start Sunday after all because he has tested positive. That was the breaking news earlier today. We want to hear from you. Talk Bears, talk football with us, what you thought of last night's game. How do the Bears go to L.A. and win? Is there a formula? 312-332-3776. We're talking about all of it on a Football Friday. We'll be right back.
Spring is here, and we all know what that means, golf, but not just golf, construction too. Yeah, it's construction season in Chicagoland, and you don't want to be caught with the lights out. Let Alta Power System make sure your generators are up and running strong for all your construction projects this fall. The Alta Power team is here for you 24-7, 365. Service, sales, and rentals. You don't always have to buy your construction equipment. Alta Equipment lets you rent it, too. Check out altaequipment.com because uptime matters.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So if Brady, he'll go home and celebrate with a rhubarb souffle.
I love Al Michaels. Tom Brady's going to go home and celebrate with a rhubarb souffle. I love rhubarb, too. Strawberry rhubarb pie is one of my favorites. I don't know about just a straight-up
rhubarb. It's out of season.
It is out of season. Right, a straight-up rhubarb souffle.
Carm, can you name the pie that Kramer was cooking in his oven that...
Huckleberry,
very good.
Now, this would be like Zetterman and the Pearl Jam game. You know, you're probably not going to stump me with Seinfeld trivia. You know, Godfather trivia and Seinfeld trivia and Goodfellas, I'd say those are... Probably going to ace any of those tests.
I love
too. Bad it's not something more productive like world history or economics.
The outrage on Carm's face yesterday when Rachel from marketing here. And
now Rachel's like 25.
Well, that's the point. And Carm was like, you were flabbergasted.
She
made a Seinfeld reference of some sort.
I mean, have you ever seen Seinfeld?
No. You asked her like about an episode or something.
Rachel worked. Rachel worked
that's
for
right.
the Devils.
That's right.
So she worked for the New Jersey Devils. She had on like an old piece of paraphernalia, you know, the Devils gear that she had from when she worked there. And she came downstairs and I looked at her and I went, "We're the Devils." And she was kind of freaked out. She's like,
"Yeah, I'm sure she was."
And she was hell?
She goes, "What?" And I said, "Don't you remember that Seinfeld episode?" And she goes, "No." And I'm like, "The David Putty Seinfeld episode where we're the Devils." And she had no, and she looked at me like I had three heads. "Watch where you're going, buddy. We're the Devils." She had no idea what I was talking about.
And Carm's like, you know Putty. And she's like, "Huh?"
She's like, "What?" I said, "David Putty."
And Carm's like, "Are you familiar with Seinfeld?" And she's like, "I know of it."
I don't get these young people today, but
Seinfeld hasn't been on the air in 23 years.
Speaking of old, happy 50th to Sylvie. It's Sylvie's birthday today. They're going to be at JMO's Live in Mokina doing their show later today on a Football Friday with Miller Lite. So you can go see the guys and wish Sylvie a happy 50th. Happy, I believe, 69, right? 69!
Nice!
Not for Ronnie the limo driver, but for Mike North. Happy 69th birthday to Pappy. He'll join us with the bonus play at 11:45. New Odds Couple podcast hits the ESPN Chicago app later today. So lots of celebrating going on here, Yurk. Just like Tom Brady celebrating with a rhubarb souffle.
Well, good for him.
You want to know what was crazy last night, Yurk? I'm going
to
tell you.
What was crazy last night to you?
You'll get a kick out of this.
Let me hear this.
Now, you remember one of our former interns who we were very close with and we love. He's still in the business today, Anthony Mazzucca. He works over at Stadium now.
Yeah.
You know Mazzucca. Great intern. Yeah. Intern Hall of Fame here.
The Zook.
He went and worked for Bellator for many, many years.
He's a great guy.
He works for Stadium now. But Mazzucca and I, you'll keep in touch. We'll text about things that are happening in sports from time to time. I've got this timestamp. Merck can come in and can confirm. Look at this, Merck. This is yesterday at 9 p.m. So the game's not over. The game's long from being over.
Right.
Look at the timestamp, Merck. What does it say? Nine.
Yeah.
9 o'clock, right?
That's right around the third quarter, start of the third quarter.
9 p.m.
And I don't know why he waited so long to text me this, but this is like third quarter-ish, right? Certainly nowhere near the end of the game.
Right.
He goes, "Hey, did you see that Brady INT? I've long said football needs to have an official score where the QB should not have an interception counted against him. It should be like a receiver INT or something." And then we went back.
Which one?
This was the Brady one on the Fournette screen pass that hit Fournette.
The Fournette screen pass where he threw the ball too high and it went off his hands?
Yeah. Okay. Well, now you're going to nitpick maybe, but you're not listening to the point. Let me finish the
story. I'm listening to the point. Go ahead.
So, but he literally said, right? Literally, folks, they should have an official score. Then the CeeDee Lamb thing happens. And I go, "Man, Dak shouldn't be charged with an interception either. That ball hits CeeDee Lamb in the hands, bounces up in the air, and it falls into the hands of a waiting defensive back." So, like, we're having this conversation as the game is going on about official scores and can the NFL find a way to, you know, either take away or add interceptions to quarterbacks or charge the receiver with a negative play. Look,
Baseball just went back and changed a score from 3 games ago. Yoan Moncada's hit streak was still intact. They gave him a hit, right, from the Kansas City game. But the weird thing, Yurko, is I know you don't like this guy, but just listen to what Chris Collinsworth said at the end of the game last night.
There they are. What a night. Tremendous game for opening night. Well, you know, when this game came out, the schedule came out, and you looked at all of Tampa Bay's home opponents, and we knew we had the game on NBC opening night. We went, sure hope it's Dallas.
Yeah. Tom Brady, 2 interceptions, but one of those a Hail Mary at the end of the half. So I think football needs an official score. If it goes through a receiver's hands and it's an interception, that shouldn't count. If you throw a Hail Mary, it's intercepted, that shouldn't count.
All right.
It's my one for tonight.
Statistics upon statistics.
Mm-hmm. I think Al was kind of dismissive of it. He's just like, all right. But isn't that crazy, Yurk, that we were having a conversation on a text chain an hour and a half before that? And then Collinsworth uses the exact line. He says, an official scorer in football.
You guys should test it out on Sunday night and see if maybe somehow he's tapped into you guys.
You think he's listening to us, Yurk?
I think Collinsworth is an idiot.
I know you do, but...
Okay, so...
I guess it
now
blows,
now that's out there.
It blows to smithereens our idea of having
can I tell you
off the list.
Can I tell you what the important thing is?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, the important thing is those interceptions don't matter to Tom Brady.
Or Dak Prescott?
Right. The important thing is they go in there and they say, okay, well, listen, it's intercepted. It's not on me, probably, but that's the way life goes. Your guys are going to make some grabs for you also that shouldn't be counted as completion.
That's true.
But the wide receiver is going to go out there and make one hell of a play for you sometimes, and that's just the way that works. When Trubisky threw the ball up to Allen Robinson and he caught it and he had it ripped away from him, those were 2 touchdown passes that were in Allen Robinson's hands. That ended up turning into interceptions because Allen Robinson must have the weakest hands in the history of man.
Mitch shouldn't get crap for that. You're right.
Well, and again, he'd go back and look at it and say, well, those touchdown passes that turned into interceptions because my receiver, theoretically one of the best in the NFL, can't come down with those damn catches. But that's besides the point. Secondly, did you see there was another wide receiver running through there on that Lamb interception?
Which one? On the Lamb one?
On the Lamb interception in the middle, you ask yourself, why are 4 or 5 guys congregated in
right,
the middle?
Right, because he threw it into a pretty packed, tight window.
Did you see who was just getting out of that zone, which is why it was compact, and then when they read what was happening? He had 2 receivers, in essence, in the same area.
But the ball did hit CeeDee Lamb in the hands.
I'm not arguing that, Carm. I am not arguing that. It did hit him in the hands. There's nobody that's going to argue that. What I'm telling you is the reason it was such a congested area, and he probably saw as he turned, he's throwing me the ball in the middle of 4 or 5 guys. Mm. What the hell's wrong with him?
Was it hit
him in the hands.
Was that a bad choice by Dak?
That. Why are 2 receivers, and this is on McCarthy and the offensive coordinator,
right?
Why are 2 receivers so damn close to each other?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Good question.
So that's something that I saw last night that I'm going to let you guys see. The game's still on upstairs. I rewatched it this morning, and I kept running it back. I go, what in the blank are they doing?
Is
right
that
now?
Player error, Yurko? Because like a route combination, like to your point, you should never have 2 receivers in that close of proximity,
right? It usually complements each other. Now, what happens sometimes, you line up trips left, and you'll run 3 slants.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to see what the defense is going to do, then the quarterback knows which guy to go to. You know, are they dropping coverage, going back to the outside? Are they bumping it along? What exactly are they doing? When he identifies it, boom, it's out the door.
Should there be like a shallow, an intermediate, and a deep on those where they're still not occupying the same
area?
Well,
no. I mean, the guy was running the same, in essence, the same direction through the same depth as Lamb was just a little bit before he got there. And then once the ball goes in the air, the defensive backs now convert on the football.
Right.
So, in essence, they were there already, then saw the direction of the football, then converged.
There were a lot of guys right there.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Melvin?
There's plenty of people who are very critical of Mike McCarthy and his route combinations and going back to his days with Green Bay.
Right.
To the point where, you know, Aaron Rodgers, that was a huge issue during their time. I don't know if it was specific to the actual route combinations, but I know for a long time Aaron Rodgers was upset about the limited number of receivers that would be allowed to go. Like, frequently they'd only have 2 or 3 wide receivers who were available options. Rodgers, it was frequently a point of contention with him, and so that was part of the falling out. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's partially on McCarthy.
It's a free ticket Friday here. Hold on. Hold that thought, York. We'll get back to talking more football. It's just great that we're breaking down football like this. It's a free ticket Friday here on ESPN Chicago, where you're home for the White Sox. And we're giving you free tickets throughout the regular season on Fridays at 45 past
the hour. These are for the Angels.
These are for the Angels series next week. I'll be at one of those games. Thanks to Chicago Cut for partnering with us. Oh, Sylvie was at Chicago Cut having his celebratory birthday dinner last night.
He had a lot of Scoops ice cream there.
Well, why wouldn't you when you turn 50? Happy birthday, Sylvie, and thanks to Chicago Cut. So caller 10 right now wins a free pair of White Sox tickets. We'll be right back.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago's proud of you.
This hour is brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Happy hours back. Get the Twin Peaks Monday through Friday, 2 to 7. Score sweet deals like a dollar off all wine, liquor, cheap shots, and ice cold 29-degree draft brews.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Football Friday. We are going to sprinkle in some baseball. White Sox are back home. Cubs are on the north side, and Chris Bryant's back in town. Jesse's going to join us just after 11. Jesse's doing Sox pregame tonight right here in your home Sox baseball. Yeah, pre and post. 6:30 start after Bleck and Abdallah later tonight. 7:10 first pitch, and you've got Connor McKnight and Hoodie doing the call here on your home for White Sox baseball. And congrats to Alex from Vernon Hills. He wins the tickets for this hour. Another chance at 11:45 and a free ticket Friday. That's right. We're giving away free White Sox tickets courtesy of Chicago Cut and all of us here on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN Chicago. Let's say hi to Joe in Frankfurt, York. What's going on, Joey?
Hey, guys. I was watching the game with my wife last night, and when that one interception bounced off the guy's hand from Brady and it was intercepted, I said, you know, they ought to put an asterisk next to those interceptions, deflected or blah, blah, something like that. So I agree with Collinsworth on that. However, the second point Collinsworth made was purely idiotic, which is typical. When a quarterback throws a Hail Mary into the end zone and the opposing team catches it, it's an interception. And if his team catches it, it's a touchdown. So what are you going to do? You're going to take the touchdown away?
You're not taking the touchdown away, Joe. It's true. I mean, but that's why it gets hard in football. Meller was saying this. We were talking about this in the IDOT bullpen earlier. Pay attention on the roads, everybody. Like we always say, IDOT reminds you to also start seeing motorcycles. Everyone's responsibility. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. It probably balances out, right, Yurk? Like,
right.
Like you said, sometimes your receiver just makes a great catch. Sometimes the ball bounces off his hands and it goes the other way. It probably balances out. Like Meller was trying to make the same point. Like, what are you going to do? Start going back and reviewing every catch and say, well, that's not really, that shouldn't be credited to the quarterback. It gets kind of tricky, I guess.
Or when Tampa should have intercepted the ball, the linebacker had it go right in his hands and he dropped it. Do we really call that then an interception?
Another good one.
Because they dropped the interception, but shouldn't that then, okay, well, he should have intercepted it. Let's just call it an interception. So, you know, you got to call things what they are. And there's context to it and there's texture to it. And guess what? The coaches know. The individuals know, but the stats are the stats.
Yeah, the film will tell you what really happened, right?
Nothing worse than a quarterback who's not willing to throw the Hail Mary. He'll throw it, and he'll throw it out of bounds intentionally so he doesn't get the interception.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that?
Sure.
Plenty of times.
Oh, yeah. They go all back, and they throw it up in the air, and they make sure that it's out of the end zone so they don't get credit with
that's
the interception.
That's brutal.
That's a selfish player. That's the kind of player you don't want on your team.
Right.
How about this? Does this count as a sack? Well, everybody slides right. You're unencumbered. You go to the quarterback. You didn't beat anybody. You didn't do a thing. Yet when you tackle the quarterback with the ball in his hand, it's called a sack.
That's a sack.
But you didn't do anything.
That's a sack.
You didn't beat anybody. You got him by design. Of course it's a sack. What about the guy that beats the double team? You know, beats one guy, beats the other guy. The back comes and tries to chip on him. He gets to the sack. They're both worth one sack, but which one's more valuable to you? So that's why you've got to be able to look at the game and you decide what is what. I looked at the game yesterday, and I saw the way the interceptions were had, and I'm like, okay, I really can't blame anybody here. That's it. Receiver should have had the ball. He didn't. Running back should have had the ball. He didn't.
Yeah,
those are the breaks of the game. The ball bounces funny sometimes.
Those are the breaks.
Like, that's part of the beauty of sports, is I love to look at stats as a nitty-gritty way of seeing, oh, okay, does this guy have a good season? But at the same time, to Yurko's point, like, I have eyes.
Yeah.
I like to watch and observe the game. And, yeah, the turnover, if you're the quarterback, guess what? That's not, you know, I'm not saying it's your fault.
Right.
It's just that is the number. That's the interception on your ledger. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers, looking through his career stats.
I bet you he doesn't have more than 12 or 15 interceptions in any
these
season.
These may not all be his fault, but throughout his 197 games played, 190 starts, he's thrown 89 career interceptions.
And it's insane.
Like, we know visually he's a good quarterback. I don't, you know, sometimes.
And some of those might not be on him, but it's.
Yeah, and yeah, what? Just, do we need to take away a couple interceptions off of Tom Brady's stats to know that he's.
Cutler would like it, but.
Yeah, but, like, but what would that do ultimately? Would that try and.
No.
Would that prove to us that Cutler was better than he actually was?
No.
Jay joins, I think, Waddle and Sylvie today, doesn't he?
No, I don't know, does he?
Doesn't that
yeah,
start?
Yeah, it's every
today?
Week, 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Come on, Carl. Jay Cutler. Let's ask. You know what? Let's pose to them. Waddle and Sylvie today should ask Jay Cutler, should the interception stat be rethought of?
That's a good question for
because
Jay.
Chris Collinsworth brought it up last night. What does Jay think?
Good question. Okay. Well, he's going to say yeah because he threw a lot of picks.
I'm sure Sylvie's already thought of that, guys.
The fact that Aaron Rodgers has 89 interceptions in almost 200 starts in the NFL is obscene. I mean, right? It's obscene.
He didn't throw a lot of picks, kid.
He's got like a 4-to-1 career touchdown interception ratio, right? It's like it's almost 4-to-1.
Oh, I mean, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
412 touchdown passes to 89 picks.
It's absurd. It's better than 4-to-1.
Yeah.
Good Lord in heaven. All right, when we come back, Jesse Rogers will talk some baseball. Chris Bryant's back in town. We'll talk White Sox with him as well. COVID sweeping through the Red Sox, and it's hit Chris Sale. We'll update that story, plus more Bears, Rams, and Week 1 NFL preview. We're back in 2 minutes.